Ay bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation. Ay bobo. Welcome to Agua Cerrito podcast. In today's episode, we are going to discuss ancestor veneration. It's actually one of my favorite topics. And we're going to discuss why ancestor veneration is important in Haitian voodoo. But before we start, let's ground ourselves in prayer. And let's start with breath. Let's breathe together three times. Inhale love. Exhale fear. Inhale faith. And exhale doubt. Inhale charity. and exhale uncertainty. Allow your breath to align with your heartbeat. Greetings to Almighty God. Thank you for the breath of life. Greetings to all of the divine saints and angels in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greetings to the ancestral spirits in the east, west, north, and the south. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of earth, water, and air and fire, both known and unknown. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents and beyond, both near and far. Greetings to you, our esteemed listeners. Thank you for the thread that connects us all as brothers and sisters on this earthly realm. Thank you for the moment to be in community with each and every one of you. We ask to enlighten and empower our listeners with love, wisdom, and knowledge. We ask to liberate our hearts and our minds in order to connect with the divine. We ask that whatever is needed from this episode be met. We ask that whatever guidance that needs to be shared is shared. And we ask that whatever lessons need to be learned be learned. Aibo bo, ago ago, bo, asao, alaso, awoshenago, javodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sen, bo. In today's episode, we will discuss ancestor veneration, a fundamental anchor in the Haitian Vodou practice. We're going to structure the episode in this way. We're going to first talk about what ancestor veneration is. We're going to then answer some frequently asked questions about ancestor veneration and share with you on how you can get started on your ancestral veneration journey. I believe that ancestor veneration brings a level of depth and dimension to an individual's practice. And it's something that you can get started whether you are a practitioner of Vodou or not. And we'll explore this a bit deeper in today's episode. So a quick disclaimer. While ancestor veneration is not created equal, that means each person has their own path and their own lineage journey, their own lineage story as to how ancestor veneration is practiced within their family. So if you're listening to this episode and you feel that you have a really complicated family history, really complicated family past, which is actually more common than you think, I believe it is always recommended that you seek out a reputable priest or priestess or some form of divination, right, from a trusted spiritual advisor before going down this path, right? So while I'll share some insights, I will share some perspectives. If this is something that you're truly interested in, I am a huge fan of seeking guidance, right? Seeking guidance. And for some individuals, especially if they have a complicated history, to seek divination. Okay. So with the recent pop culture phenomena of Marvel Comics, Black Panther, I thought it was really fascinating how we saw like ATRs and this idea of living ancestors take center stage on a secular cultural, like, pop icon moment level that has historically been demonized and suppressed. And so I remember when I went to see both Black Panther 1 and 2, I was so excited. I felt like seen. I felt we were so represented. So shout out to that movie, and shout out to, like, them really bringing ancestor veneration to the forefront in the way that they did, even if it was on a secular pop culture level. And in African traditional religions, ancestors, or what we call the living dead, they are foundational to an individual's level of remembrance and for them to really understand who they really are, right? It is always said that ancestors are believed to reside in a parallel realm. Sometimes we call it the ancestral realm. And they are actively intervening and guiding and participating in the lives of the living. So even though we don't see them with our physical eye in on this earthly realm, they are always here. And they may make their presence known in many different ways, which we'll talk about later. But it's just understanding that, particularly in African cosmology, the concept of death is not finite in the way that sometimes we hear in the Western lens. There's this idea that someone dies and that is it. That person is gone and there's no essential connection to them anymore because they no longer exist. And in African cosmology and in Haitian Vodou, ancestors die and death is simply the next stage into a new life, it's a transitional period into a new realm. So it's not that person really died in a sense of never being there. They are now living on a different realm. And this is where ancestor veneration really takes place. So within African cosmology, ancestors are revered, they're venerated, they're respected, and they're done so through a series of rituals, of offerings, of sharing of their stories in a way to continue this idea of reciprocity, right? So we talked about in earlier episodes, we talked about how Haitian Vodou is centered around what we call relationality, right? It's centered on the relationships we have with one another, but those relationships extend to the afterlife. So it's not just we just have these relationships in the living space. We have these relationships with the divine, with the laws, and with the supreme God, but we also have them with our ancestors. And so I think it's important to understand that this kind of relation, this dynamic relationship, helps us navigate interactions that we have not only with God, it helps us navigate relationships that we have with the divine, but it also navigates the relationships that we have with the living, with each other on the earthly realm. So ancestors, in this sense, they're kind of seen as like the middle people, right? They are intermediaries between the living and divine, and the divine and ancestors, they're really what we call your spiritual first line of defense, because our ancestors, the people that knew us, you know, and during their lives, they provide guidance, protection, and blessings in exchange for us to continue to remember them. And if you are a spiritual practitioner, such as myself, that remembrance may go beyond just sharing their stories and celebrating their birthdays or their death anniversary. It may go beyond that through a series of prayers, rituals, and other types of offerings that's giving to them in order to allow them to be able to abundantly blessed in the realm that they currently are in, right? What's really interesting is that the wisdom of the ancestors is pivotal in shaping the community. So again, Haitian Vodou is very community centric, and ancestors are seen as custodians of moral order. They help kind of create almost like guardians, right? So they're like guardians of the norms, of the values. They come back and they give guidance that kind of helps continue to keep, again, that balance and harmony within a community. They sometimes come back and they will express their displeasure, if they believe that the community or certain individuals are not moving in a way that advances a community forward. And there was beliefs in many African religions that ancestors that are not happy can result in societal and individual misfortunes. It can result in negative consequences, because the goal of our ancestors is to help seek to create balance and continue to create harmony and preserve not only the culture and, let's say, in the case of Haitian Vodou, to preserve the practice, but to also preserve the generations, to preserve the families, right? To keep the lineage moving forward from one generation to the next. If we were to look at ancestor veneration on a broader scale, on a meta level, the practice of ancestor veneration also shapes culture, right? It shapes the cultural identity and the communities that belong to those specific traditions. And interesting example. So if we think about public ancestor veneration. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about in most of today's episode is going to be private, right? So we're talking about an individual venerating their, let's say, their mother that may have passed, their grandparents, their uncles, etc. So we're going to talk a lot about individual private ancestor venerations, but we do see ancestor veneration is practiced globally. And even here in the US, we see examples of public ancestor veneration in certain holidays. So if you think about, for example, President's Day, if you think about Memorial Day, we think about Veterans Day, these are holidays that are essentially a series that create a series of rituals that are traditionally held in memory to the dead that have shaped the founding of the country and have helped protect the country towards, enforcing its democratic ideals of freedom. So in that context, if you're celebrating President's Day, Memorial Day, any of these types of like U.S. holidays, that is a public display of ancestor veneration at play. While it may look different from religion to religion, region to region, anytime we are taking a moment to honor the dead, we are venerating our ancestors. If you look at the Bible, some people say it's the Bible of God, right? So if we look at the Bible, a lot of the stories are narrations of ancestors. They're ancestors of particular lineages, but they are in fact telling the stories of individuals that have passed, right? So it's important to really understand that ancestor veneration is not just something that is in Vodou. It is across many religions, across many different countries across the world. And it's important to understand from an African religion perspective that the interaction with our ancestors affirms one's place within their lineage and helps strengthen the bond within the community that an individual is a part of, as well as with the divine, right? It helps when you are able to venerate your ancestors. It helps you stay rooted, right? It helps you stay rooted in remembering who you are. It helps foster a sense of identity. It helps foster a sense of a shared destiny. And it helps foster a sense of sacred groundedness. You'll find that individuals that venerate the ancestors, there's a sense of confidence that they typically have as a result of just really being clear about who they are and also being clear about who they are not. And ancestor veneration is one of the many benefits, is that strong sense of self and that strong sense of identity. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some of the key principles of ancestor veneration. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more. So to begin the conversation around ancestor veneration, or in Haitian Creole, we say zanset, is to really understand the intermediary role that ancestors play, right? So I go back to this idea of it being a middle person. And if we break that down, right, ancestors mediate between the living and divine, and they help provide access to the spiritual realm and facilitate communication with the laws. And we find that ancestor veneration, it essentially underpins the Vodou pantheon, which we're going to talk about in a future episode. Many of the laws that we know and that we serve today, they actually have ancestral origins. And many of the laws are seen as elevated ancestors. So they use some of the laws, while some of them were always divine beings and always divine energies, some of them were ancestors. They were individuals that passed on to the other realm and over time became elevated into laws. So when they become, so an elevated ancestor becoming a law gains divine status through their deeds or through spiritual power, right? So that's an important distinction of not just that ancestors are mediators, but the fact that there's hierarchies within the ancestral realm. And going up to the ultimate hierarchy is becoming an elevated ancestor to the point of becoming an actual law. Right. I talk about the reciprocal relationship that exists between the living and the ancestors. This is another important key principle, right? Because practitioners, specifically Haitian Vodou practitioners, they honor their ancestors through a number of rituals, offerings, and prayers. And in return, ancestors offer guidance, protection, and intervention. We also talk about the fact that ancestor veneration reinforces communal bonds, right? And it helps people foster a sense of unity and pride within their cultural heritage. Respecting elders is central to Haitian culture in general. Because when we look at ancestors are seen as like the stewards, the guardians of ancestral legacy. So ancestor veneration is important as a means of preserving our identity, preserving our culture, preserving our spirituality. And, you know, kind of one of the last things is that if we think about how ancestor veneration, it's so deeply embedded in Haitian life and Haitian culture. I don't know if people even recognize like how much of Haitian culture is embedded in this idea of ancestor veneration. So, for example, the national anthem of Haiti, ancestral veneration is up front and center in that song, right? So the national anthem of Haiti, literally the first line is honoring the country of the ancestors. So the song is about a minute and a half, 2 minutes long, and there was numerous mentions of zanset, or what we call ancestors. There's numerous mentions of our ancestors, even in the song and the national anthem. So it goes back to, you know, how important, you know, being able to have that continuity of life, that, you know, being able to pass on from generation to generation, you know, given that it is an oral tradition. Even naming children, right? Naming children after ancestors, it just really continues this ongoing relationship that people have with each other. So when you venerate your ancestors, I actually believe you venerate an aspect of who you are. You actually venerate yourself when you venerate your ancestors, because this is a saying that I hear quite often. We are our ancestors. Everything that we are made up of is our ancestors are able to experience, and we experience it through our belief and our veneration towards them, right? So they're experiencing our life through our lens, and we in turn experiencing their lives through remembrance and ongoing rituals, offerings, and prayers to keep their memories alive. So it's really fascinating, right? I think there's a saying that Maya Angelou has that I think it speaks so well to this idea around ancestors. In the quote, Maya Angelou says, you know, in every room that she goes into, she brings all her ancestors with her. She said that, I believe, in numerous different speeches and poems where she shared that. But the one that stood out to me is when she says, when Maya Angelou says, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. And I think that is such a beautiful representation of how ancestor veneration is displayed, and also how it is that, you know, reciprocal relationship. There are some frequently asked questions that I'm going to address. The first question is, how do I start venerating my ancestors? And I think this one, again, you know, I go back to divining, you know, going back and divining from a trusted spiritual advisor to know, you know, exactly what's particularly in your lineage. I think in terms of, if I think about it from my perspective, being able to have a cup of water, you know, to pour libations, and a white candle. You know, if you have a photo of the individuals, let's say if your family had passed away, members of your family passed away, that especially if you were really close to them, you know, just putting that white candle in front of them, right, with a glass of water, is a great way. Praying to them, speaking to them, right? And on doing so on a regular basis, that it could be something as simple as that to get started. You don't have to do anything additional or anything complex. I think it's just acknowledging, you know, who they are. Another question that I hear sometimes is, do I need to be initiated into Vodou to venerate my ancestors? Absolutely not. Ancestor veneration, while yes, it is a critical component, it is a fundamental anchor in Vodou, it is open to anyone and everyone. So initiates may have structured rituals that they have to adhere to, that's part of the reglement of their faith practice. Anyone can honor their ancestors by simply remembering them, speaking their name, and making offerings. Another question could be, how do I know my ancestors hear me? Now, this one, I believe this is one of those questions where, you know, it really depends on you and the relationship that you've had with that individual, right? So you may see signs of your ancestors through dreams. You may have thoughts about them. You may sometimes, if you turn on like the radio and a song that they love starts playing, or you're scrolling through like your phone and you see, you know, like a meme or something that comes along across your phone that reminds you of them or gives you a specific message that maybe you connect it to be from them, right? So there's a lot of synchronicities, dreams. I've heard individuals say that they sometimes feel chill, like they feel like, you know, actual chills, like on their body. There's different signs, right? In terms of being able to know and acknowledge that your ancestor is there. I think the biggest thing to consider is that if you are, you know, really talking to your ancestors, you're in the process of remembering them, just being mindful to be open, to be aware of these little signs, of little things. I know an individual that I know that started to venerate their ancestors, all of a sudden they started to find feathers along their route. So they'll be in the subway and they'll see like a random feather, or in their office building and then find a random like bird feather. You know, they'll go to a different restaurant and then see a feather, right? So everyone's ancestors are going to have different ways to communicate. The thing is to be aware of how the presence of your ancestors are showing up and being mindful of how those signs are. They can sometimes be very, very subtle and very quiet, but they are there, right? If you look for them. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back and talk about some other frequently asked questions. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more. So another question that I've heard people ask is, what kind of offerings do ancestors like? Like, what should I give my ancestors as offerings? So I think this is going to really be dependent on your ancestor, your lineage, your cultural background. I always am the fan of providing, if you do provide any type of offering, giving ones that are things that they liked when they were alive, right? So if they were a coffee drinker, right? If they liked fruits, if there was a certain meal that they liked, if they liked perfume, if they, you know, smoked tobacco, right? So just finding different ways of offering them things that reminded them of the time that you knew them to be and the relationship you had with them. Again, I always say, you know, make sure to connect with connect with the diviner before you start giving offerings and before you start venerating your ancestors, right? So make sure to connect with a trusted spiritual advisor, or sometimes individuals may have, let's say, they may have intuition, right? So let's say you may be going somewhere and you all of a sudden you're like, hey, I should buy this for my ancestor, right? Sometimes you may see things in dreams. So follow the signs. Your ancestors are always going to be there guiding you. And so if this is something that you decide that you want to do, I say kind of follow the lead of what you hear your ancestors sharing with you. What if I don't know my ancestors or have a complicated family history, right? So I think I always say start with ancestors you do know, right? Even if you don't have specific names, you can honor your ancestors by stating, you know, the ancestors that are known and both known, right, in your prayers, right? That can be an example. But always start at a minimum, start with the ancestors that you know. You know, follow your heart, follow your intuition. And if you are a practicing Vodouisan, I say consult the laws. There's specific laws that are focused on ancestral connection. So I think about laws like Gede, I think about Bawon, Grand Brigitte, right? So they're laws that can help provide insights into you connecting with your ancestors further. Another question, can I venerate my ancestors who are not Vodouisan? Yes. Yes and yes and yes. And it was interesting. I actually learned this kind of by accident because a lot of my ancestors are Vodouisan, but I had some that were not. And I found out that, yes, ancestors do not have to be Vodou practitioners to be honored. They don't have to have practiced an African religion, right? You can tailor how you venerate your ancestors to their beliefs. So if they were Christians, let's say, for example, you may decide to, you know, put a Bible, right, and have maybe one of their favorite Bible verses that's like out, or the rosary in the case of those that are Catholic, right? So you don't have to, your ancestors don't have to have practiced Vodou for you to venerate and honor them, okay? Now, a common question that I hear is, what is the difference between ancestor veneration and worshiping the ancestors? Like, so what's the difference, right? Or worshiping the laws? That was a question I got. And so ancestors are not the same as laws. Remember, so ancestors are individuals that lived on earth. They were part of your family in some way, shape, or form, and they have moved into the spiritual realm, So an ancestor, you can venerate or honor your ancestor, but at least specifically in Haitian Vodou, we do not worship ancestors. We venerate, we honor them, we remember them. That is different from a loa. A loa is a spiritual force, it's a spiritual energy or divinity that serves specific roles in nature and in human life, right? Whereas ancestors are family spirits who once lived on the physical earthly realm. And I did mention that some ancestors do become elevated and can act as guides, and some become as elevated as becoming a loa themselves, right? Because they've lived a certain type of life and through a certain types of strengthening that's been done for their spirit. So it's important to understand the distinction. So it's ancestor veneration, not worshiping ancestors. So another common question that I get is, what if my ancestors were not good people while they lived on Earth? Should I venerate them? And I think this is an important question to ask. I want to go back to this idea that in Haitian Vodou cosmology, there is no such thing as absolute linear truths, such as good or bad. So remember, the concept of good and evil does not have the same functionality that it has in a Western lens. But rather, in Haitian Vodou, everything is cyclical. And with things being cyclical, that means that everything is karmic in nature. We reap what we sow, and even if we do not pay for our harmful behavior, our future generations can end up paying for past life actions of ancestors. That is something that sometimes happens. And so I think this goes back to, you know, if you're not sure about something or about a particular ancestor, right? I always kind of lean on the side of caution. And I think it's best to connect with the ancestors you do know and the ancestors that you feel comfortable with connecting and venerating. And talking to them, if you are a Vodouisa, talking to, you know, the loas like Gede and Bawo and Gun Brigitte to get some guidance and some insight, some spiritual insight on what to do. Or, you know, consult an experienced priest or priestess for divination. So you can know what needs to be done. Again, this is going to be just from my family perspective. I've always been raised from the lens of, if I'm not quite sure from a spiritual lens, I do not do it, right? Because sometimes it's hard to undo, right? This goes back to, we reap what we sow. So even if we sometimes make a mistake, and we were blissfully ignorant, right? And making that spiritual mistake, it doesn't mean that that mistake does not carry spiritual consequences, right? Because again, it goes back to this idea of harmony and balance. So I would say that would be my thing. If you feel uncomfortable, chances are don't do it. But on the other end, look for guidance, seek out guidance, seek out divination, seek out prayers. So how often should I venerate my ancestors? I think this is a really interesting yet common question. I am a fan of the idea that consistency matters more than frequency, right? Consistency, right? You are able to, this is the similar thread as, like, if you're building a relationship, and this goes for the laws as well, right? And we're going to talk about the laws in the future, but if you are looking to build a relationship, so remember, Haitian Vodou is about relationality. So if you're looking to build a relationship, you don't just do one and done. You send a text message and then you don't respond, you know, for another 10 days, and then you respond and then you love bomb and then you go back and you ghost. Like, you don't do that, right? With people you trust and you love, and people that you are looking to build an ongoing friendship relationship with. So you wouldn't do that to your ancestors. You wouldn't do that to your laws, right? Consistency builds trust, right? It is when I see that you're constantly doing the work, you're in communion, you're in constant communication. And that can be for different people. That's different times. Some people do things weekly. Some people do things monthly. Some people do things annually. Some people do things daily. it's really up to you and what you feel you can commit to, okay? I think that's more important. And then some individuals, they focus on maybe special dates. So like an individual's birthday or their death anniversary or some sort of milestone date that they choose to focus in on and venerate their ancestors. So you decide what makes sense for you, what makes sense for your lifestyle. You'll sometimes in communicating with your ancestors, they may tell you, they may say, hey, we want this or I want that. Like, you know, you'll have sometimes those types of communications, right? So, you know, go with your gut, Lee. But again, whatever you decide to do, be consistent at what you do. Okay. So in terms of just kind of last perspectives on ways that you can honor your ancestors, like what are the different ways? So we talked about potentially leaving offerings, right? Lighting a candle with a, like a water libation. Something as simple as that is always a path that can be a very powerful path forward, right? Just water and clean water and a white candle. Some individuals decide to create an ancestor altar, right? So we're going to talk about altars in the future. Ancestor altar essentially creates safe space. It's a sacred space that honors the your ancestors, and it gives you a space that is dedicated to them that you can communicate with them at on a regular basis. You can offer food and drink, as I mentioned, if there's something that they loved eating, and you may want to commemorate that. That may be something you decide to do. As I mentioned, with altars and offering food and drinks and those sorts of things, if you're a Vodouisant, there may be a little bit more complicated rituals, more complex ways that you're expected to provide offering and drinks or an altar that may be different from someone who is non-initiate or not a practitioner, okay? We talked about lighting a candle, pouring libations, sometimes conducting certain rituals and ceremonies, maybe another way you decide to do so. Singing the songs that they love, burning incense, right? Being able to just speak to them, right? Calling out their name while you're praying and just telling them, you know, just like you're on a phone call or you're FaceTiming them, right? So just think of it that way. Like you can sit in front of your altar or you can even sit in front of their picture with a candle and just talk to them like you would talk to them in real life, and they're listening, right? Ask them for their guidance, ask them for protection, ask them for blessings, right? I mentioned that they communicate in dreams. They can communicate in a lot of different ways. Sometimes you'll have individuals call you out of nowhere, send you an email, and they were thinking of you, or they brought something to you that may have been connected to something you were talking to your ancestors. So it's not just we may have these individual experiences. People may come into our lives at certain moments or give us a call or text us. That is also can be in response to what our ancestor is trying to convey to us as a message. For those that have the opportunity to do so, going to the cemetery and visiting your ancestors' graves, cleaning their graves, you know, bringing flowers for them is a great way to do that. Naming your children after your ancestors, talking about them, sharing their stories, you know, telling individuals about, you know, these specific ancestors used to live. What are some of the personalities they have? You know, just being able to share the story, share the memories that you have of that individual, and maybe some of the wisdoms that they've passed down. So you may have noticed throughout this entire podcast, from time to time to time, I'll share a story that my mom told me, or I'll share a moment that I had with her, or I'll share with you all, impart the wisdom that she shared with me, I'll impart on you. These are all aspects of ancestral veneration. I think another one that's great is if you have like family gatherings, getting together, doing family reunions and sitting around talking about your favorite aunts or your mother or your uncle or your grandfather, right? And talking about them. Those are great opportunities and great ways to venerate your ancestors, is to keep their memories alive, right? And the last, I find it to be very powerful. I've actually met some individuals that have begun to create or have created a family Bible. So think about that. And I think that's so cool. So think about if you create a family Bible, just like the Bible of God, if you create a family Bible and pass down stories of your ancestors, so you can have, you know, the book of this ancestor, the book of that ancestor, and tell about their lives, tell about the wisdom they imparted, tell about maybe their successes, but also tell about their some of their hardships, some of the challenges that they had in their lives. And creating a family Bible is a perfect way, because their life stories essentially can become scriptures in your Bible, right? As ways to share life lessons to future generations. I thought that was an amazing example. I have not seen as many people that's creating family Bibles, but I hope to see that, especially those that are practicing African religions, being able to have those types of Bible. And this is not for public consumption, right? Like a family Bible, or sometimes there's, you know, some practitioners have like a family egregore. So if you have these types of sacred text, which I call it sacred text, make sure to pass those down in your family lineage. And it, you know, there's someone to kind of continue the legacy of upholding that and keeping the memory alive of those around them, right? The ancestors that came before them. That is today's episode. And before we close out, I wanna just say thank you all for tuning in. And as always, we are going to close out in prayer. Thank you to the Almighty Creator, source of all life and breath. Thank you to all of the divine saints, spirits, and protectors who have walked with us in the sacred gathering. Thank you to the ancestral spirits in the east, west, north, and south. May your presence continue to guide us as we move forward. Thank you to the spirits of the earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown, who sustain and balance us in every moment. Thank you to the ancestors of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents, whose wisdom and sacrifices have paved the way for our existence. Thank you to all of our ancestors, near and far. Thank you for encircling us with your love, your strength, and your internal guidance. We give gratitude for the unity that we have shared and for the wisdom that has been revealed in this moment. We release ourselves into the world with your blessings, asking for your continued protection and guidance as we walk our paths. We honor the thread that connects us all as children of this earthly realm and as spiritual beings beyond it. May the light of wisdom, the power of courage, and the bond of love remain with us as we part ways. May our hearts remain open, our minds remain clear, and our spirits remain strong to continue learning, growing, and thriving together. We affirm that all that is needed has been received. All that is to be learned will unfold, and all that is to be shared will bear fruit in time. Aibobo, ago ago, Bo asao alaso awoshenago jabodo afutai bilolo swakongo kwa sen bo. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerito podcast. Thank you for joining us on the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits. And remember, the Agua Cerrito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.